The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
It's time for Hanson McLean's Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson. I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us. Glad to be here today as we host the Hanson McLean's Money Matters, both myself and my co-host. We are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their finances. We come to you on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have advisors now or you're just getting things going or whatever the case may be, we wanted to consider us another, look at this fancy penny. Consider this program another place for valuable information.
Yeah. And we are here each and every weekend on this station.
That's correct.
Talking with you about financial things. And it can be as simple as, should I fund an IRA to estate planning or taxes, insurances, 401ks, 403bs, 457s? Do I have enough to retire? Do I have so much money that I should actually start giving it away?
How much should I be giving to all those kids who send me their graduation cards? Do I give for both high school and college as well?
I don't know the answer. We actually didn't let my daughter send them.
Huh?
We did not.
Oh, aren't you good?
I said no. Save it up for the wedding and ask for the big ask.
The wedding. She's out of high school now. Next stop,
the wedding.
The MRS. Anyway.
Oh, I hope she's not listening.
Yeah. Big trouble. So anyway, we're talking about all kinds of financial things. We got a great program lined up today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the disconnect between financial markets and the economy. So many people focus on the economy, try to make choices with their investments based upon, I think, because this is happening in the economy. So we'll talk about some of that disconnect and a couple other topics we want to talk about. But also, of course, taking your calls. If you want to join the program, I'd love to take your calls. Assuming it's a good question.
Yeah, and who wouldn't want to join this program?
I don't know. I can't imagine why anyone would not. Matter of fact, sometimes after I leave, I think about...
I call my own. I call myself.
Yeah, I go to moneymatters.com. There's a little thing there I could click. Go to Money Matters and say, I want to ask Scott and Pat a question. I go right on there and say, I need to ask myself something.
Do you ever listen to the show?
I can't.
I have once.
I did the other day.
For a particular reason?
Yeah, I had a particular reason. Every once in a while I listen for a particular reason.
Yeah, not like for fun. You know, you haven't loaded it down on the podcast and said, hey, let's listen to myself.
Monday mornings, first thing, get to listen to it again. Uh-huh. And then Tuesday mornings, again.
Yeah, do you remember that when we first started 20 years ago? Where we had a coach that would, for the first 6 months, he would help us. Because you get on the radio, we knew the subject matter. We were just afraid to talk on the radio. We were afraid of a microphone.
Yeah. Now we know how to talk. We just don't know the subject matter.
Well,
so
thanks.
Is it 20 years experience or 1 year, 20 times
it's
over?
It's part of the maturation process.
Our contact number to join Hanson McLean's Money Matter. Question anything financial. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. 888-2-HANSON. You could also call 916-921-1530. 916-921-1530. Those numbers will get you on the program. Pat, I remember.
We have relatively new listeners to the show since we are...
Yeah, KGO.
KGO in San Francisco.
Yeah. And by the way, welcome KGO listeners. We've only been on there, about 4 weeks or something like that?
Yeah. So if you just found us, thanks for listening.
And you found it, all right. If you found this...
yeah.
Life is good.
Your day is over.
Your financial woes are behind you.
You thought it was going to be a good weekend just because it was a beautiful weekend. You can go to Bottle Rock in Napa or...
What's Bottle Rock?
Bottle Rock is the Imagine Dragons. It's a 3-day rock festival for middle-aged people.
Oh, really?
Relatively. I went to the price list yesterday.
Like, what bands are there?
Oh, there's like dozens. It's like South by Southwest, but more gentrified.
What's by Southwest?
Holy smokes, how old are you?
I'm 48.
It's like, what's the other one?
That was a musical, wasn't it?
What's the one down in Southern California?
Coachella.
It's like Coachella.
Coachella, because my kids want it. My son wants to go somewhere to Norway next. Norway? Is that where he wants to go? Somewhere, some Icelandic country up in the northern European area.
For a rock concert?
I don't know. That's what he wants for his high school graduation next year.
Really?
I'm like, looking at him like, oh yeah, that sounds like a wise choice of fun, son, for your... Yeah, I'm going to send you some rock concert where there's a bunch of illicit drugs
anyway,
and everything else going
that's
on.
That's what Bottle Rock is. It's in Napa. I went to the price list. There's VIP and platinum. You could buy 1, 2, or 3 days.
So that's where it differs between the youngsters and middle age.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you're young, you don't have any money for the VIP tickets.
Yeah. And there was
valet parking in the rock.
Not only was there valet, there was... Like,
what bands?
There were bicycle valet. The headliner was Imagine Dragons.
I was listening to them driving in the studio.
And what's the other guy named? Palmer?
I don't know Palmer.
Anyway.
Ronald, what was that guy's name?
Palmer, yeah.
He must be old now.
Yeah, he's old, yeah.
With the
speaking of, before we actually get on...
What was that guy's name? Robert Palmer.
Before we
He had the women kind of dressed...
We get to this, this morning I was listening to the radio, and Paul McCartney...
Are you telling radio listeners about an experience you had listening to the radio earlier in the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where Paul McCartney came out and said that he no longer smokes marijuana at the age of 72. I just thought that was funny because he didn't want to be a bad example to his grandchildren.
That's the big news for out of the...
We're cleaning it up.
At 72. You're never too old to start doing the right thing.
All right, let's go to some calls.
All right.
I just found that humorous.
I did find it humorous as well, so thank you for sharing that
well,
with me.
Well, I heard that on the radio.
And listeners, 888-2-HANSEN to join us. Let's talk to Todd. Todd, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I just have a question on asset allocation. My wife and I have about $450,000, $500,000 in our retirement accounts.
Okay.
But most of that, probably 90% of it, is in an S&P 500 index fund. And I just didn't know if you had any recommendations or suggestions on how I should diversify or if I even need to.
Do you have any money saved outside of these retirement funds?
Yeah, we have about $50,000 in cash.
Okay. And how old are you?
36.
Okay. And how old is your wife?
37.
You guys have done incredibly well. Has anyone told you that? You've been saving the maximum since the day it was available to you, haven't you?
I opened up an IRA when I was 18, and my wife started her 401k when she started her career right out of college.
Good for you.
And if you do some projections of what this is going to look like by the time you're 60, you'll see that you're going to be in great shape.
And have you been the S&P 500 the whole time?
Yes, when the market crashed. 3, 4, 5 years ago when everything bottomed out, that's when I actually started maxing out everything because I knew I had many years ahead of me to make up any losses.
All right.
I think you're doing – so you could do this strategy and this would serve you well, right? To maximize the strategy – I would look a little beyond just the 500 largest companies, maybe a total stock market. That would encompass about 6,000 companies.
And
so now you don't have any exposure to mid and small cap, and you don't have any exposure to international
companies. I like the fact that you're 100% stock.
Being mid-30s, yeah.
You're mid-30s, you got plenty of
and
time.
And if you think what you've ridden through, Todd, in the tech bubble of 2000 to 2002, that downturn wiped out the stock market by about 45%. Then we had the financial crisis that pulled stock prices down over 50%. So you've lived through two of the worst downturns of the last 100 years, truly. So, and you've learned how to ride those things out without going crazy. You've still got so many years before you're going to spend these dollars. You can afford to take on the ups and downs of the market.
But rather than have the S&P 500, if you had choice in your 401k or 403bs, whatever they may be, I'd have 75% in the total market and 25% in international in some form. But I'm okay with 100% stock.
All right, so 75% total stock index and then 25% international.
If it were me or you or my younger brother coming to me, I'd say put 70% in total stock market, 30% in an international index fund and call it a day.
And I said 75% total market and 25% international. Well, we won't know who's right until a few years. Todd, call us back in 10 years.
I'll call you back in 10 years.
And let me know.
I think it could be me.
And let me know that I was right.
And the purpose behind that, Todd, when you look at about half the production around the globe occurs outside of the U.S., a little more than half now. And so not only that, and then if you look at what's happened with the dollar relative to other currencies, it's probably, from a valuation standpoint, it looks a little better overseas than international. But having said that, 2 years ago, we probably would have said the same amount of allocation.
So I'm going to ask a couple other questions. One is, if you have children, I assume you're funding 529 plans.
Yeah, we have a four-year-old, and we have about $20,000 saved for her.
All right, perfect. Make sure you have plenty of term life insurance, and we appreciate the call.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing great. So we need more young people like that, obviously working hard. You don't just come up with the money out of the ground, so... Good for you. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a couple lines still open to join the show. I'd love to take your call regarding your financial question. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-H-A-N-S-O-N. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters on this great weekend. Was this the last weekend in May?
Yep.
I always like this time of year.
What's not to like?
Wake up early because the sun's shining in the window.
California, I'm going to go for a nice bike ride today.
I had a nice run. I was supposed to go for a big ride tomorrow. I shouldn't say this on the air. I'll get myself in trouble.
And what happened? Some family matter came in the way, and you couldn't ride. I know you pretty well.
I like to do a lot of endurance type things. And out of Auburn, Northern California, there's the Wildest West Century 140-mile bike ride.
But by the way, how's that a century?
I don't know.
Somewhere how's 140 miles
there's different
a century?
Options. Anyway, so I signed up with a couple of buddies of mine, and I signed up like 5 months ago. And I was on a walk Monday evening with my wife. And I've been gone. I've been out of town, I think, four out of the last five Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And she had mentioned about something. I actually think we were trying to figure out getting together with my parents for lunch on Sunday.
Oh.
So she's actually trying to orchestrate.
For your side of the family.
That's correct. And I told her I had this ride planned. And I hear this, oh.
Which means?
No.
That's what I got. Oh means no.
I had to tell my buddies I probably should take this one off. No. And when I told my wife, it was again, oh. It was not a thank you. It was.
You did the right thing.
You did the right thing, you dummy. Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake. But
so there's a whole range of what the word oh can mean in your
absolutely.
House.
Absolutely. But 23 years of marriage, I kind of understood the different inflections. On the O, I can kind of
and
lean something.
O in a row.
Oh.
So let's give the numbers out.
When I'm called Mister, that's when I'm in big trouble.
916-921-1530 if you'd like to join the show. Or you can reach us at 888-2-HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N. It's easy enough. 921-1530 or 888-2-HANSON.
That's right. Let's talk with Bobby. Bobby, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning.
Hi, Bobby.
Did you get my question already?
There's a couple of notes, but there's more than us in the room. So do you have a question for us?
Sure. I'm 78.
Okay.
I've been investing in an IRA and in a separate account, both with the same company.
All right.
I've got about $350,000 But being 78 and withdrawing about $4,500 a month.
Okay.
In my retirement community that I'm living in now, I'm not sure if I'll have enough money to see me through the rest of my
life. So we're going to spend a couple times.
Time, yeah.
We're going to spend a couple minutes answering this question. Is the radio on in the background? Are you watching a baseball game? Or
no, the radio's on.
Oh, could you please turn that down?
Sure.
Or turn a baseball game on,
okay,
one of the two.
On. I'll do that.
Turn a baseball game on.
Now, that would be good financial talk. We've got financial talk with a play-by-play in the background.
Right there. You could actually use examples like when Jose Canseco. So, Scott,
all
I could,
back to Bobby.
We could work it in.
Back
so, you're 78 years of age.
Right.
And you're spending $4,500 a month out of your assets of approximately $350,000. Is this all the money and all the assets you have in the whole world?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you own your home?
I have no home.
So you're living in a care facility or something like that?
Yes.
Assisted living.
You're not married?
I'm not married.
Okay. So when you when we do the math, that is a relatively high distribution.
About 15%.
So if you just did a straight line distribution, you could expect that you, if it depending upon how it's invested, but if it's invested earning just 1%, let's say it's in bank CDs, it's going to last you about 7 years.
It's in mostly bonds.
Okay. Well, then that's not much better. That your yields are not much better. So on the outside, if you were sitting in my office and said, how long do you think this money would last based on a bond portfolio? On the outside, I'd probably say 8 years at $4,500 a month.
So then what do I do then when I run out of money?
So that's the question, right? That's the big question, which is there any way you could get by on less money now?
No, the fees are what they are.
Got it. Got it. In that particular care facility.
Yes.
And you receive Social Security, which is part of that $4,500.
Yes,
in addition to that, so you're probably somewhere around $5,500 a month in income.
It's Social Security is only $1,300.
Okay, so you're so overall you're at $5,800 a month in income. And do you have relatives that can help you?
No, and I'm not getting $5,800 a month. I'm getting the $13 from the Social Security, and then the balance from my brokerage account, my
IRA,
which is $4,500. So the two of those is $5,800.
The place you're living, Bobby, is this some sort of assisted living, or is this just a community you live in?
It's not assisted living. It's a community living. Yeah,
is it like, is it step living where they start with, you know, you move into more assisted or skilled nursing, or is it just a retirement community?
Retirement community.
Okay, and you don't own your home there.
No, I do not.
You rent. So
you want us to be real frank with you?
You live in a nicer community than you can afford.
Yeah,
that's what I'm afraid of.
I know. Well, it's a terrible conversation to have, but. You called and wanted to know what the danger is, and the danger is 8 years from now, you're at zero.
Living on $1,300 a month.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. So
that won't get you anywhere.
No, absolutely.
What you might want to consider is living somewhere today that's less expensive, so you're not broke in 8 years.
So, and we would actually work backwards. We'd say, okay, you know, if you're 78, what happens if you live another 15 years rather than 8 years? What's it look like? How much can you afford if you live another 15 years or 20 years? But
yeah.
What we know now is that unless you've got medical problems that you think your life expectancy is less than 8 years, that you're spending more money than you should. And you know the same thing, or you would not have called the show.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, you know the same thing.
I wish we had, an easier answer for you.
And you have no relatives and no other assets, so this is it. That's correct?
It.
Yeah.
It.
So unfortunately, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And start shopping for a lesser expensive place to live. And it may mean, you know, the problem is that most people want to age at home or close to where they are from, because of the fact that you have your social circle there, and
which is important,
and a lot of the care providers, your doctor, your dentist, or the person that cuts your hair.
That's very important. Those are extremely important, but especially so in my case because I'm 80% blind.
Yeah, that is absolute. So
I have no car.
You know,
and no way of getting around.
So, in what county do you live?
Around Folsom.
Okay, so you're in Sacramento County. I would call the Department of Human Services. Is there a senior advocate in the community in which you live?
I don't have any idea.
So talk to a couple friends. I think that what you probably, when you just said that you're 80% blind.
There might be some other programs.
I think there's probably some other assistance programs out there that may be able to help you. So I would actually look for the Department of Human Services and ask for a senior advocate in your particular county. So if you and I were just visiting and said, hey, Bobby, you know, what's going on? The first thing I would say is, you know, let's look to see what resources that are available through the state or county due to the fact that you're 80% blind. And there may be some sort of subsidy that actually helps you.
I see. So the person to call, the agency to call is called what?
I would start at the Department of Human Services.
Department of Human.
Yes. Unfortunately, he just dropped.
But that's the.
Yeah, the Department of Human Services.
Start there and see what
happens. Start there, and you want to look for a senior advocate.
You know, and so this is an interesting call. So if you.
It's a terrible call.
I understand. Here's the thing. If you're sitting there listening and you hear this conversation we had with somebody that we're looking at his situation, and as financial advisors, we said, look, you cannot afford to continue the path you're on. You're going to run out of money at a certain age. If you think you're in a situation like that and your financial advisor has not been upfront with you, you might want to find another advisor, because here's what we've seen. Here's what we've seen out there sometime with financial advisors. People call them, and financial advisor is a broad term that can cover all kinds of things. People selling all kinds of garbage to really high quality fiduciary financial planners. But sometimes we've seen out there where financial advisors will tell people something they want to hear in order to get their business from them. So they'll say, oh, things are fine. We're going to earn all this great money. Don't worry about it. If everything's great. The big Great Recession we had a few years ago was a game changer for many, particularly retirees. We're in a time when interest rates are so low, returns going forward are probably not going to be quite as high as they've been in the past.
And people like Bobby, the 78-year-old saver, is the one that's punished by it, because the yields on what he's getting now are so low. 8-10 years ago, or when he retired,
It might not be as hard.
Yeah, I mean, they might have yielded 5 or 6%. He could get 5 or 6% in a CD, and it was pretty easy. But not at 1 or 1.5%.
And this is a common thing we're seeing.
If you're worried about it, you need to have the conversation with your advisor. And if your advisor tells you, don't worry about it, without an explanation why you should or shouldn't worry about it, then you might have the wrong advisor.
Thursday, I remember I had conversations with two different people, families. One, always very concerned about retirement. They've got multiple seven figures. Okay,
so
a lot of assets, very moderate lifestyle,
couple million plus,
yes,
multiple
yes,
sevens,
yes. But always nervous about retirement. They're retired, but and live in a modest income. Terrified they're going to run out of money. Every time we talk, I go through the same kind of thing. You're withdrawing 3.2% or whatever the number is. Next to nothing. That same day, so I said, look, continue on. Don't worry about things. Do what you want to do, etc. That same day, I had a conversation with somebody else. Your account will be empty in 7 years. Or is it 9 years? Whatever it was.
It was actually a number you could put on the account.
Oh, yeah. Based upon this assumption of growth assumption, going, I think you use 5% or something going forward, this account will be empty in 7 years. So we need to make some changes today.
And
this is reality.
You didn't create the situation.
I didn't create the situation. It was a financial.
You didn't.
We didn't create Bobby's situation. But as good financial advisors, those are the kind of conversations we obviously need to have with people to be real to them, Just like you'd expect your medical doctor to tell you,
hey, you know, you got an issue.
Maybe you should, your cholesterol's too high.
My doctor never says, hey, that cholesterol, don't worry about it. Actually, my cholesterol's fine.
Last time I left the doctor, I didn't know what to eat. I said, I don't even know what to eat anymore. You know, you're not supposed to eat too many sugary things.
So I went to the Habit and had a burger.
You don't like... I did have a good burger yesterday at lunch. Big, fat, juicy burger. But I was good because I got the salad instead of fries on the side.
You are a regular
health freak. I felt so good about myself. Look at me taking care of my one body that I have on this earth. Anyway. Hey, okay. Study that came out.
All right.
Well, actually, study that came out this last week. This makes sense. The average cost of raising a child today, $245,000, excluding college costs. According to the USDA, $245,000. I don't know where they get these numbers because I know that half Americans could not.
Yeah, $245,000.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. 888-2-HANSON, if you want to join us. We still have a couple lines open. 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago, with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country, with a team of advisors in Northern California. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is to first listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
By the way, I encourage you to go to our website, moneymatters.com. From there, you can take you to Money Matters U. We've got a lot of good articles and videos and stories and financial matters. And
it's like an online university without the cost or degree. Hence the name Money Matters U.
My daughter signed up for this online course this summer. It was very expensive.
Was it?
So why couldn't you do this through the JC or something?
But yeah, good point.
I'm trying to get out in 4 years, Dad, and I shut
up. Well, there you go. Just like, and I'm studying.
Where do I sign?
And I'm studying rhetoric, Dad. You lose.
Hey, GDP, we're going to take some calls here in a moment. 888-2-HANSON. GDP numbers just came out for the first quarter.
Gross domestic product?
The economy shrunk a little in the first quarter, which wasn't a surprise. And we don't get into too much detail about it because you can flip on every news station and they'll give you talking heads on it. But here's the thing. A lot of people will monitor the financial, the economic news and try to make investment decisions based upon that. The reality is the financial markets tend to move in directions that are not that highly correlated to the economic realities
or political or the political environment.
That's right. So, I mean, if you think of all the bad news we've had in the last few years, where it comes to both a slow economy, a high number of people not even in the working force anymore, the global uncertainty, the wars, on and on and on.
Middle class wage growth.
From an outsider's perspective, if they hadn't looked at what's happened, say in both the stock market and the real estate markets, they would have said, oh, man, things must be terrible for investors. But yet what's happened? It's been a great time for investors over the last number of years in those markets. So someone questioned me on Friday, how come the stock market's not off more that the GDP number comes out? I'm like, there's not necessarily, over the long term, over your 20-year period.
It will have a correlation.
Have a very close correlation. But over a shorter period of time, you're wasting your time if you think that by going through some sort of exercise of looking at this, it's going to somehow help you outsmart the markets. It's just not going to happen. So, all right. Anyway, let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's talk to Harbinder. Harbinder, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Yes.
Hi.
I'm here. Hi. Hey, my question to you is, have not contributed to the 529 plan, and now the son's ready to go to college.
Congratulations on the the college.
What's the best way to pay for it? If I were to help him,
just pay it out of pocket.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, just pay it right out of pocket.
Yeah, I mean, is he accepted into a university now?
Yes.
And where's he going to school?
He's going to Lake Marriott down in Oakland.
Okay. Is it a private university? I mean, what's the what are the expenses going to be?
Just the tuition itself yearly is around $44,000.
Okay, $44,000 for the.
And has he? Have you filed for asked for any financial aid or student loans?
I told him to go ahead and start the process, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you need to contribute the FAFSA fee.
Need to get on that.
Yes,
he's going in September, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get on that. So you want to complete the FASB and see what financial aid. What's your approximate family income?
Around $60,000.
Oh, my. You, it's $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the tuition's $44,000.
Yes.
How have you thought about paying for this?
That's the option I'm trying to explore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what's he planning on studying?
He's going to be a physical therapist.
So,
so it'll take more than 4 years of schooling to get that.
Yeah, and from what you just said, think about it. Your family income is $60,000, and the tuition's $44,000.
Mm-hmm.
Your after tax income isn't $44,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you what, if I were in your situation and it was my kid, I'd say I'd recommend he look at another university.
I would absolutely. I'd go and look at
state school.
I'd look at either a state school, I'd look at community college, or I'd look at a school like Grand Canyon University or Southern New Hampshire University.
Okay.
But I certainly wouldn't be talking about my son going to a college that goes for $44,000 a year. It's not going to happen.
You'll end up with some subsidy, some grant.
Unless it's still not going to be
unless
enough.
Unless he's a 4.8 GPA and getting a full ride scholarship. If you're something you're going to have to fund, you don't want to get him out of school. He's out of school and owes $80,000 or $100,000.
Did he get any sort of scholarship whatsoever?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look, here's the deal, Harbinger. I mean, right now, it seems like we're in a time where people feel they have an obligation to send their kids off to these expensive colleges. You have no obligation for that. I didn't have that opportunity as a young person. I ended up going to junior college for a few years.
With a physical therapy degree, I'm not from that field, but is it one versus the other? I've gone to physical therapists. I never asked him where he graduated from. Did you ask your physical therapist?
I have no idea where he graduated. But I know that if you get out of college, if your undergrad, you're going to have $80,000 in debt before you go to graduate school, you're going to have a hard time paying that back.
So, and I doubt you could even get student loans and enough financial aid to pay the $44,000 in tuition. So, I think you need to step back for a minute and look at not only alternatives as to, does it make sense to go to junior college first and live at home? Does it make sense to go to a state school? Does it make sense to explore the financial aid and loan options? That's where I'd start. So,
I'd probably go and talk to someone in the financial counseling office at the university and say, look, here's my deal.
And see what they say. And they're probably going to say something very similar to what we said.
Or there's some other programs there. But it doesn't make sense for I see people derail their retirement because they want to send their kids off to some private universities. We see kids coming out of college with tremendous amount of debt that there's no. We've talked about this program before where the government intervention in the student loan program is a tremendous disservice to our young people.
Now, let's explain why.
$1.2 trillion in debt. Taxpayers are on the hook for this.
And what it has done, it's been great because it allows some and many underprivileged people to go to college. But when too much capital chases an asset, it drives the price up.
Which is what's happened in college. You've all seen the inflation numbers for college.
In the last 2 years, college costs have actually come down, but not the top line cost, What it has been is the number of scholarships that have been issued in order to get the real.
That's exactly
because
what
it's
doing.
Become a competitive marketplace.
The colleges are all. They're not reducing their top line.
No. Correct. So anyway, Harbinger. You need to step back for a minute and look at this.
If it were me, my kid, I'd say, look, I'm not going to co-sign for any student loans for you. I think this is a mistake. I didn't have that privilege. You didn't have that privilege.
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
My only point of stating that is that it seemed to work out just fine for us.
I'm with you. My brother's very successful. My sister, same thing, right? But I think it's a little bit different world now. I think the cost of education is much higher.
There's no question.
I think access to education is much harder on a state school in the UC.
Yeah, I'll grant that.
I think that
there's still programs where you can go to a junior college in California.
I think that access is
and
better.
And you're guaranteed to get acceptance into the Cal State system.
Talking to a student about that this last weekend.
It can be a great program for a lot of students. You got to be, maybe a little more motivated at a junior college because there's a lot of kids there that are only there because their parents said, I'm going to kick you out unless you go to college. So they're taking classes. So maybe you need to be a little more motivated.
And student loan and financial aid was harder to get when you and I were in college.
So I didn't qualify. I never got any.
So therefore,
my family didn't have the income, but I didn't qualify for a student loan either.
I had student loans.
There seems to be this kind of mindset that there's a responsibility as parents to send our kids off to school wherever it may be.
But that's not fair because I wouldn't endanger my retirement. I don't. The difference between a $44,000 school. And a state school.
It's $40,000 a year.
not quite that much, but enough. But
no, that's just the tuition.
He's from Northern California. There's plenty of great state schools that are within commutable distance versus a private university.
That would give a fine education and without the
I think
young
this
man
horse is dead. I think we have beat this significantly. I think it's everyone just, knows how we feel about this now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think
I think there's some great colleges, great private schools, and if someone's got the money to do it, but look,
God bless them.
The reality is, a family that's got a $60,000 income, it's been a struggle just to keep things afloat, get the kid through high school, right?
Yes.
And that's the majority of Americans. That's how the majority of Americans' families, and then they should not feel any obligation to send their kids off to a private university.
Oh.
They should not have they should not feel any sort of remorse that they can't afford or any of that stuff.
Or that the university is actually somehow lesser because it costs less.
That's
or
right.
That it's state run.
Yeah. We're going to
remember it's the student that graduates, not the university.
And after a few years out of college, it's not going to matter.
In most cases, it doesn't matter.
Most cases. 888-2-HANSON if you want to join the program. That's 888-2-HANSON. Also, right before we go to the break here, I want to remind you of our website, moneymatters.com. A lot of good information on there. You can
including some articles on college funding.
Yeah, and you can also go over to our Hanson McLean website and learn some of the services that we provide. Anyway, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters back here with you, Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We're going to continue on with some calls, talking to Wayne. Wayne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes.
Hi, Wayne.
Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Yes. My question is, I have a 23-year-old son. And he invests approximately 50% into his 457 and also invests $5,500 a year into his Roth IRA.
And he's 23.
He's been doing it for 2 years now.
Did he go to, supposed to be a generation of a slacker? Isn't he supposed to be a slacker? The millennials.
That's Wayne. Did he graduate from college?
Yeah.
And what kind of college did he go to?
He just went to junior college and he's finishing up his master's
right. And so where's he finishing up his bachelor's?
He's finished
Sacramento State. All right, there we go. State school.
And he's finishing up his bachelor's. And but he's working full time now?
Yes, he is working full time. Last year he made $80,000.
We're not going to worry.
$80,000.
Wayne, we're not going to worry too much about your son. So what's your question?
Yeah, I know. That's fantastic.
My question is that he right now is putting in, he asked me this question the other day, and I did not know the answer to it because I'm the one who advised him to do all these things. And I've been training him since he was 13 years old.
Okay.
His question was, Dad, do you think I should put in more money into my 457 and drop my Roth IRA or continue both?
Oh, how much money does he have in the Roth IRA?
He's putting in $5,500 a year.
So the benefit of the Roth IRA is that you can pull $10,000 out.
He's not going to have a problem figuring out how to buy a home and stuff.
That's a good point.
The challenge is he's in a relatively high tax bracket already. And at the rate he's going, my guess, he's probably always going to be in a higher tax bracket. I mean, if a 23-year-old kid isn't managing to make $83,000 and going to college, he's somehow figured out how to make money. Mike, that's just what it seems like to him from this angle, unless he got lucky on something that's just a one-off, but I kind of doubt that. So the concept behind tax-deferred retirement plans, whether it's a 401k or 457, part of the concept is, look, we're going to invest the money today. We're going to get a tax break today. It'll grow tax-deferred, and it'll come out tax-free at retirement time. So it goes in, get the tax break today. But see, here's the thing about getting the tax break today. That works best if you are going to be in a lower tax bracket at retirement. Right, so if you're pretty confident you'll be in a lower tax bracket at retirement,
he's 23.
I'm just going to finish my conversation because in case for the people are 43 or 53.
Okay.
If you believe you'll be in a lower tax bracket at retirement, you want to take the tax deduction up front. If you believe you might be in a higher tax bracket in retirement and you believe that Congress is going to make good on their promise of Roth being tax-free in retirement, you, instead of taking the tax deduction today, you avoid that deduction, put money in on an after-tax basis like a Roth IRA or Roth 401k, still grows tax-deferred. At retirement time, it will come out tax-free under current rules. So, your point, Pat.
He's 23, makes $85,000 a year. He's probably going to be in a high tax bracket forever, so therefore you would fund the Roth.
There's a good chance that someone like that might be making 183 or 283
by the time he's 35
or 40 or something.
He does work for a municipality, though, or the state.
He must be pretty dang good to get that kind of pay, isn't he?
Because, because it's a 457 plan. That's how we knew he worked for a municipality or a state. Why couldn't you fund a Roth 401k? The 457.
You could.
I would do the Roth.
Roth first.
I would do the Roth.
Roth first.
Yeah.
So even though he's in a higher, and then of course, if you're living in California, your career, and you're taking the a Roth, and then move to a tax free state like Nevada or Texas, you're probably going to be in a lower tax bracket. And one of the things, it's often, it's interesting. Anyway,
appreciate the call.
Wayne, appreciate the call on that. And we still have time for another call or two.
888-2-HANSEN. That's 888-242-6766 or 916-921-1530, and we'll get you on the air.
I've seen lots of articles, lots of calculators for should we do the Roth IRA or regular IRA? Should you do a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k? And I've almost no articles or almost no calculator. I haven't seen it. We'll take into consideration the state income taxes. Look, in California, we have the highest income tax burden of any other state. We are higher than Hawaii. We're higher than New York.
Yes,
not
the
everybody.
Not everyone, because
some have city taxes.
If you're at the top, that's true. If you're at the top income in California, you're at 13.3%. They threw in an additional 1%, the voters did, for mental health. So every once in a while, you hear those ads, hey, you should feel good about yourself. It's the wealthy people's confiscating.
But Scott, those ads run on this station, so let's not beat too much on those ads.
We love those ads, by the way. Fantastic.
So the reality is, if you're, let's say if you're 50 and you know you're moving out of state to a lower state.
It might not make any sense at all for you to do a Roth or to do a Roth conversion. And you're focused on the federal income taxes and
look
ignoring
at the
state. Because you choose to put money in a Roth, you're basically you're telling California, look, I'm going to choose to pay taxes here at the state of California. And if you do a Roth conversion, you're saying, oh, I'm going to go ahead and pay the state of California up front today, which is actually, as a resident of California, I thank you for that, because the more revenue. But you're choosing to pay the state of California, whereas if you did not do a Roth conversion, or if you contributed to just a traditional 401k or IRA, when you retire and move out of state, those dollars are tax-free.
So in saying that, this is the argument that I have received. Well, isn't it my responsibility to pay the taxes?
What?
Isn't it my responsibility to pay the taxes in the state of California?
The taxes that are due you.
Yeah, correct. So what it does
But what's wrong with making
a little
choices?
Tax planning in order to make it more favorable
for
you.
So I had
an
argument with somebody, I remember a couple years ago, and there was this, he says, it seems like you guys, financial advisors, do all these different techniques to try to reduce people's income taxes. I don't know. I don't think that seems right. It seems right that people should pay their fair taxes, then they should pay their taxes. And I said to him, I said, hey, Dave, do you itemize your deductions for your taxes? Oh, yeah, of course I do. Well, so then what you're doing is you're taking advantage of any sort of tax break you're getting. You're taking advantage of the mortgage interest that you're paying to your mortgage. You're taking advantage of any charitable giving. You're taking advantage of writing off these other. You're taking advantage of these loopholes that are applicable to you. Why is it wrong for other people to not?
Why do they? But it's not. They're not loopholes. It's tax code.
Well, what's a loophole anyway?
Well, actually, loophole is a slot in a castle where you shoot arrows through.
What?
That's what the word loophole comes from.
What are you talking about?
You asked what a loophole was.
Yes.
And I explained
my first thing is, why would you actually know the answer to this?
Because
You ought to be on Jeopardy. You and Alex Trebek.
And the reason is because I hear this word loophole, and I'm thinking, what's the genesis of the word loophole? And
did you look it up, or is it one of your many books that you've read on the history of all kinds of stuff?
I looked this one up.
What is a loophole?
So in medieval times, it was a long, skinny slot in the side of
a
fortress that you could actually shoot an arrow through. You could shoot an arrow through, and that is a loophole. So when people refer to things in the tax code as a loophole, I think to myself, they're not loopholes. It's the tax code.
Well, because a loophole has to do with some old fortress with a slit that you shoot an arrow through. So obviously it's not that.
Well, that's the genesis of the word loophole.
I do.
But
kind
it's
of
got a new meaning today. But things in the tax code are not loopholes.
But sometimes we'll say we found a little loophole and drove a truck through the thing. Because you see something. As financial advisors, sometimes you'll see some sort of product where we see something that the rest of somebody missed, and you're like, wow, here's a tremendous opportunity for our clients.
And it's very rare. It's rare.
And we ram as much as we can ram through, like ramming a truck through a loophole.
It's rare. It's rare. And we are using we should be saying that there was a discrepancy in. There was a discrepancy in the pricing of this product that allowed our clients to take economic advantage to their benefit.
Yeah, sometimes we see people come in.
Instead, because we graduated from state school, we say, hey, we found a loophole and we drove a truck through it. Because that's how people from state school talk.
But sometimes you'll see an old annuity contract.
Oh, yes.
That'll have some high guarantees. And you look and you see, you know, you can get a 4.5% guarantee on this. What's the surrender charge? And you'll say, shove a bunch of money into that
thing. You wouldn't purchase one today.
Or you'll see an old variable annuity with some death benefits that are greater than the market value, and you realize, you know what, you can take all your money out of this account, leave a couple dollars in there, have free life insurance from
Although
the insurance company.
You would not purchase one today. It makes sense to actually look at things that people have in their portfolio to see if there was a discrepancy in the pricing of this product that allows the client to take economic advantage of said product.
Said product. Now you're getting all proper.
I'm going to pretend like I didn't go to state school.
Said financial product. Anyway.
But... Oh, we're having too much fun. And if you like this kind of fun, you can listen every week while we enjoy ourselves.
Yeah. So I encourage you to go to moneymatters.com. You can sign up for this podcast. We do this program every week, broadcast out of KFPK Sacramento at 10 a.m. from 10 a.m. to 11 on Saturdays, and from KGO from 4 to 5 p.m. every week. But you can get the podcast of this program delivered to you each week. And I also encourage you, particularly Bay Area listeners, we've been on KGO for about a month now. If you think this program is of value, and
you're going to ask them to tell their friends about it?
I was going to.
That is just cheesy. Just cheesy.
What do you mean cheesy?
They're not going to bring up our show to the whole. Oh, listen, kids, we're going to listen to Hanson McLean this weekend. Daddy, we want to go out and play.
Not now. Hanson McLean's on. You can shut your mouth.
Smoke.
You stay in your rooms. Keep playing video
games.
Anyway,
just go to our website, moneymatters.com, and sign up to have the podcast delivered to you on a
weekly
basis.
And while you're at Money Matters, come and check out more things about not only the website, but our firm, Hanson McLean. We've enjoyed being with you. Have a great rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in Northern California. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is to first listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.